Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. A podcast for moms making the most of playtime. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly internet radio show and podcast where parents can share, learn, and laugh together about natural play ideas to engage their little tots aged between birth and five. So, let's join our host, Melissa Avila, for this week's show.
Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 17. After the crazy weather everywhere, I'm glad to see, well, certainly hear, that spring is certainly in the air. Time to dust off the shoes and get back outside. Many parents belong to a mother's group where they go to socialize with their tots. The tots get to play and learn songs and do some sharing or not. Usually these clubs are indoors. Have you ever thought about an activity club that meets outside? Imagine the fun that you can have with children of all ages meeting together for outside activities. This week I'm talking to Carrie Svenneby about creating an outdoor playgroup. I'll be right back with the interview after this short break.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet, and sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Carrie Svenneby, the owner of Active Kids Club. Hi Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Active Kids Club.
Well, Active Kids Club, it's a website to focus about everything you need to know about outdoor play and connecting kids with nature. And here you find the information what to do in all kinds of seasons. We have our website is categorized in seasons. And whether you're looking for hardcore outdoor or like we call more soft thing, you will find it here. We also have a section where we talk about more traveling parenting issues. Raising questions, and a lot of them are featured from all over the world. You have different contributors from all over the world as well. And this is the site where it's parenting, parents talking to parents. We also have different outdoor playgroups where they can blog their own, what they're doing in their playgroups, and connecting each other as well. The same goes for the forum. Our motto is no bad weather, only bad clothing. And that's kind of behind a little bit the site. We think about ourselves as part of the nature, and that means that we go outside regardless. And we also talk, use a lot of times about information about the right clothing as well. We also have a cooking section. The cooking section is more of also using the seasons as the main ingredients, where we do different cooking with kids. The kids can do themselves, but also ingredients from the season.
That's great. I'm really excited to see that there are different contributors from all over the world sharing their experiences of playing outdoors and activities. What made you decide to do it that way?
I think the website is one component of Active Kids Club. Because the reason why I started it was actually grassroots with me alone in a park in Toronto in 2005. And the process was like, I found that I had to explain why it was important to be outside. So it really makes me want to do the website. And then because I was doing that, people started contacting me on what I'm doing. And they say, I have a story. I also want people to write as well, because it's interesting to read about other experience as well and be inspired.
Your story is great, and I love your picture on the Your About Us page where you're in a big old puddle of water. Can you tell us a little bit of the story behind that picture?
Well, it was a lot of takes for taking that picture.
Oh.
Me and my daughter. It was. I you don't know, but I am married to a professional photographer.
He's okay.
A director of photographer. So sometimes I'm taking the pictures, but that one he did take. And I think it was like 8 to 9 images of the same thing. So I knew already that I wanted to have a picture like that, but we were on a trip in this neighborhood I actually live now. I live by the beach in this Toronto, and it was a beautiful spring day. And we were basically, me and my daughter, we were jumping, paddle. That's what we did.
That's perfect. I love puddle jumping. Such a fun thing to do. And my 4-year-old now, he loves to do that. Whether you have boots on or not, and yeah, sometimes it's not so good when he doesn't have change of clothing, mm-hmm. but it's just so much fun. It's just, that's what you do when you're a child, and you can get away with it when you're an adult, right?
Yeah, I think the picture of paddle jumping is really quite the essential of outdoor play, kind of capture what this a little bit about, I think. That free spirit, not afraid about getting dirty. Yeah, I love it too.
What made you decide to split your activities and ideas up into the seasons? Because often you see with outdoor activities that you see a lot of them for the summer and a few for the winter, but what made you think of doing the seasons?
Well, basically, here in, I can do, and I think that's all over the world, it's also where I'm from too as well. I think we love sharing the summer. At least I'm just talking about Toronto, I don't really feel like it's that sort of a problem about saying get out and play.
Mm-hmm.
But we found that more is a problem in when you don't have that getaway weather. So for me, it's just that's basically what I didn't understand. That's what we need to give the information out. It also is how I live my life. I live my life after the season and do those activities. In the winter, I do winter things. In the spring, I do spring things. I even eat after it as well. Like, everything connects to each other.
Yeah.
It's not just out to play. That's what's so interesting. It is actually cooking as well, food ingredients. And a lot of those activities you can do together, you can combine them, like food and cooking. You can grow food, you can harvest them, and you can then cook something with them. So that's the behind it. I think that's how we used to live too. It's not a new thing. And my, I also, which I'm very inspired by, it's the out of the forest daycares in Europe. This is kind of what they are doing in their programs as well. They do everything around the season.
Right. Could you tell us a little bit more about your website? It's not just articles, but you seem to have quite a few different things that are going on there. It's a really good resource for all sorts. Could you take us through some of the things that you have there?
Well, when I started the website, I started before Children and Nature Network had any website. So my problem was I didn't really find any evidence or any studies why outdoor play was important. So that's what I used a lot of energy finding those studies because I actually had to explain why Alt-Okay was important. But today I am more, I call myself more as a celebration of Alt-Okay. I don't really talk so much why it's important anymore. You will find it hidden, but I'm more of telling parents what to do outside. I'm also not afraid about taking up issues concerning about outdoor play, which can be a little bit sensitive, like risk factor as well. Like free-range parenting has got a lot of attention lately.
Yes.
We will talk about that too as well. More and I try to get more contributors. It's the things like one thing I've been trying to been writing about for a long, long time is temperature. When is it too cold to be outside? Which I find is hard here in North America because it's very different from Europe, where we have milder climate and not that extreme weather. And I don't really find that much information about it. And then it's the contributors to tell me what they want to write about. Like I had a personal trainer who wanted to write about walking, why that was good instead of running. And that's a little bit, that's what it is. And then a lot of times I write for myself because I'm wondering what I should do with my kid. One of them that I don't really know, I just find out that, all right, now it's cold, what should I do? Oh, I haven't done ice castle. That's actually something I did in Norway with my daughter. I made an ice castle. And I got the information from somebody else, actually Alta Daker in Norway.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, you just kind of document the things that you already know.
Yes. Or I do. I'm also working. My daughter has, she's going to have a birthday party, and it's an outdoor birthday party on Wednesday. So then I do a story about that too. But a lot of times I also love to get stories from other sources. Like you were doing a story for me in the summertime.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Because it's different perspective and outdoor is so rich. It's not just one way of looking at things. It also is very culture aspect as well, which I try to put in, like when we are talking about Christmas, you know, Christmas is not, it's the solstice, the sun is turning. Like bringing the culture into the outdoor in the articles, I also find it's very interesting to do as well. Without being religious, but just talking about how we organize the life. And again, that goes a little bit with the season. It's the reason why we are celebrating Christmas, because the sun is turning.
Well, it's great to see all those resources all in one place. And the fact that you use contributors really helps, I think, to, like you said, bring different perspectives on the way in which you do things. Because it is interesting that from wherever you're from, you have a view that's very much coloured by that country that you lived in or that you grew up in. And when you move and live somewhere else, like we both have done, it can be challenging and it can be really interesting, the different things that you learn how to do in that new country.
I totally agree. Now, I also go to U.S. because I told you my husband is American, so I do go to Florida quite a bit. So I'm also colored from that as well, and here in Canada, and then my home country as well. It's a mixture. But I also learn a lot from other people online. I'm very grateful for Twitter, which I met you.
Yes.
But also a lot of other people out there who do outdoor blogs like me. I find it very exciting. And,
There is power in connection and finding people that are like you. You feel like you can do anything when you're empowered by what other people have said. I really enjoyed Twitter for the same thing. Let's move on now to the next question. Can you share some more information about outdoor playgroups. That seems to be a really popular term, and I know people are familiar with playgroups inside of churches and special playgroups where, like MOPs, where groups of women meet together and talk. But can you talk about outdoor playgroups?
Outdoor playgroups is not really that different from indoor playgroups. It just happens to meet outside. A lot of time, they will use a park, or if I live in a big city, so here and we don't really have that big backyard, so we use the parks. And we meet in, different in all kinds of weather. That's for my group. You don't necessarily have to do it. And it's about getting the kids together and play. The structure, at least how we are organized it, depends on the weather. We're using the weather as a tool for how to do our activities. So again, if we have paddles, it's paddle jumping. If it's snow, maybe we can go sledding. Or maybe we can make snow angels. If it's summer, maybe we will dig some worms. Again, it's whatever it does. Or maybe we don't do that much at all. Maybe we just sit and talk.
Yeah.
And let the kids find their own things to play with. I really would try to have them as free as possible also, because it's not really how we are structured. It's not a program. It's more of a community group where people live. So I am very happy that in Toronto and rest of Canada and in the U.S., we do see a lot of more outdoor programs start popping up. But this is more of a grassroots happening. My daughter, her fourth year, actually, she's been meeting once a week. I have heard some people saying, well, then you are into planning again. But you know what? Sometimes you have to plan things to make it happen.
Yes.
And it's good to have one day, you know, you're going to be outside regardless.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day. And it happens. Because I don't know about you, but I find a lot of times the day just goes without knowing what I did.
Yes.
And it's good to just have that scheduled time. I also think it's at least how the outer play group I've been part of, it also is it's a community builder as well. It's not just about the kids. It's a little bit for the parents to make their own connections as well, which I think playgroups in churches and other playgroups is about as well.
Yes. And I see that people go a lot during the summer and will arrange to meet at the park and do something similar to what you've talked about, having an outdoor playgroup. But any other time of the year, that doesn't tend to happen as much. And I like the fact that you've got a place where everybody can come to. It can be structured where, you know, you work out activities to do, or it can be totally unstructured, but you definitely have a meeting time and a meeting place and it's a place in the diary as well, so everybody knows it's always going to happen. I think that's a unique thing to do, and I hope that more and more people take that up and do that.
I hope so too, and I think I want to say is that it doesn't have to be that big, and I think that's why a lot of people think it needs to be so big. But it don't. It just can be a meeting place and a park with a friend as well. I also want to say something too. Is like I'm very great. I actually don't organize an outdoor playgroup anymore. I'm part of an outdoor playgroup. But here in Toronto, we have three great women who organize their own. And that's Deborah, Kristen, and Mari. They all do their own thing. And a champion outdoor play in grassroots. Because I think it's a little bit about that, too. It's about telling people it is important to be outside.
Yes.
Not just to create awareness. Actually, interesting, you said we don't do it in the summer. We don't do outdoor playgrounds in the summer.
Funny.
You know why?
Why?
Because we don't need to. We don't need to. People are outside anyway, and we also do find, at least here in Toronto, which is such an international city, people go away a lot in the summertime. They go to the cottage, they go where they are from, like I'm from Norway, I might go home to Norway. So, and also it's always kids outside in the park, so we don't really feel like the need to do it in the summertime. While it's more in the inclement weather, we do it.
God, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Actually, we did continue doing it in the summertime.
Yes.
But we didn't actually have that many people come. Mm-hmm. It was more people in spring and fall.
Yeah. Oh, makes sense.
But I live in this neighborhood is my neighborhood. People are, a lot of kids are outside, so I'm very happy to live here, even in the wintertime.
That's great. So that's a great model.
At least when it snows. The worst thing is it has snow, and it's just cold and nothing to do. Yeah, no, I love it. It also has been good for me, too, as new and to make my own network. And that's a lot of the other moms say, too. But they also say it helps them to be focused to get out as well. And I think that must be the reason why you're doing it, is more for yourself, that you get outside and you know you're going to get outside that day.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is fun. You could go for walks and have picnics and always have hot chocolate in the wintertime. It's true. We have to have hot chocolate in the wintertime.
No, that makes sense. Well, thanks, Carrie, for sharing your tips with us today. Where is a good place for us to find you?
Well, that will be on my website, activekidsclub.com, where you find me. And we would love to hear from new moms who's interested in this.
Great. I'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Raising Playful Tots. You can find us on the web at www.raisingplayfultots.com.
What an exciting idea to have an outdoor club. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith, I think, that rain or shine, you can be outside with the little ones, but that's a really cool idea. There are so many resources to get you started setting up your own outdoor playgroup, and I think it's great that Deborah, Mary and Kristen have already started that. They're three mums who did just that. They started a beach group and two different park groups. Carrie has written a special guest post giving useful links and tips on how to get your own club started. Be sure to check the show notes for the information. You can find the show notes at www.raisingplayfultots.com. The winner of the Play Outdoors book contacted me this week to say how much she was enjoying the book. Thanks, Elsie from Ohio, for dropping me a line. And thanks to Caro Webster for offering her book, Small Fry Outdoors, to a lucky winner. I'm currently running a survey at the Play Activities blog to find out what you like and dislike about what I do there, which includes this podcast. So if you have a minute, and it is only a minute, there aren't many questions, there are some quick questions there to answer. Everyone who enters in automatically is entered into a draw to win one gift card, but you must remember to leave a comment, as the survey is anonymous, and I can't tell if you've entered if you don't leave a response back at the blog. The survey helps me to plan what I do on the Play Activities Network and gives you more of the things that you want and need. The survey closes on Monday, the 22nd of March, 2010. I'm a big fan of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, as they advocate on our behalf. You'll no doubt have heard about their recent high-profile action with Disney and Baby Einstein in 2009 that led to refunds that were offered on the DVDs sold in the last 5 years. It caused quite a stir at the end of last year. With such a hard strike, there had to be some pushback, and I was saddened to hear that this week that's exactly what's been happening. They had to vacate the building that they've been working in for the last 10 years, not because of choice, and in a most unusual way, and so quickly. The CCFC has written about their forced move at their website, campaignforacommercialfreechildhood.org. I'll link to it in the show notes. While you're there, sign up for their newsletter. Lots of grassroots work we can do, and resources to arm us with the knowledge to help our children. I've just got through interviewing Josh Golan, so look out for that podcast coming up in the next few months. Okay, it's time to wrap up. You've been listening to show number 17 for the week of the 14th of March, 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime.
Thanks for listening to the Raising Playful Tots podcast. For new show ideas or comments, leave a voicemail at 214-615-6506, extension 3998, or send an email to Melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. You can follow Melitza on Twitter @PlayActivities, where she tweets about play. Visit the show notes for links to what we have talked about in today's show, or leave a comment at www.raisingplayfultots.com. While you are there, you can sign up for our newsletter so you'll never miss any updates about the show. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell your friends, and please consider writing a review on iTunes to help spread the word.